Welcome to From the Horse's Mouth, the official podcast of Providence Day School, bringing you spirited, informative, and entertaining conversations from the global PD community. Now here's our host, a familiar face and voice on the PDS campus, world language teacher Jay Barron.
It is truly a pleasure to be talking today with Dr. Glenn Calishaw. I've prepared a little introductory welcome remark for you. I hope it goes well.
Okay, here we go.
Dr. Calishaw, I'm truly chuffed that you've agreed to join me in this little chin wag. I know your time is valuable, so I'll try to stay focused as I don't want for this to get too chopsy.
Oh, my. That was really not bad. I might have gone with choppy over chopsy, but that might be just a regional thing where I'm from.
Well.
But I'm equally chuffed to be here, mate.
Great. Good to know. Good to know. Now, this is fun. We just want to have a little conversation here on what we're calling Straight from the Horse's Mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I know I wonder about here at Providence Day is the campus.
Right.
We've had so much change here on the campus over the last few years. Where are we going from here? Can you give us a little insight into the campus master plan?
I can. It's a great question, and we're fully committed at a board level and an administration level. And as we celebrate the first 50 years of Providence Day School's history, what do we need to put in place to make sure that future generations enjoy the next 50 years? And the campus master plan is a vital part of that. Imagine the challenge. If you enter TK this year, I think I'm right in saying you'll graduate in 2033.
Mm.
2033.
I didn't realize there'd be math.
And we're talking about building parking decks. Do we need parking spaces? I'm not even sure what cars will look like in 2033. I do, however, believe that Providence Day School's commitment to academics, to Providence Day School's commitment to student safety, security, wellness, mindfulness, and indeed its faculty and staff commitment in those areas, insist that we try and predict what the future may hold and plan the campus accordingly. So over the last few years, people have heard about, is there a road coming across campus?
Mm.
Is there a light coming on Sardis? When do we need to build more science labs as more science courses emerge? And as long as we don't lose sight of that quality of life, I think that keeps us ahead on this campus master planning. So I couldn't say what building comes next, but I could predict that over the next 5 to 10 years, we're going to see renovations and indeed new buildings coming on campus to increase that quality of life and that commitment to academics at PD.
And a drive-through Starbucks?
We would never sell our soul to such a commercial proposition, Jay. You know better than that, unless, of course, it was for the right offer.
Well, I know that you know your way around this campus, not only because you get to live here, but also because you are very visible on campus. You're out and about, morning carpool. I'm just curious to know, why is it important for you professionally, personally, to be out and about on campus?
Yeah, I think personally, Darlene, my lovely wife, insists I do leave the house on a very regular basis just for her own mental health capabilities. But from my perspective, what makes Providence Day School so incredibly special is its sense of community. Mm. I genuinely, genuinely feel I've got the best job in the world. I genuinely feel I'm still getting to know this community. I love going to a musical event, a theater event, an athletic event, an academic event, meeting the young people that are going on to be our graduates, to be our alums, and are doing amazing things. So I feel so blessed to live on campus and to get out and about. And again, little did my lovely wife know that we get amazing theater tickets, amazing concert tickets, amazing athletic tickets, all here on campus. Boy, she's lucky.
Well, and it's a lot of fun to see you guys out at the shows. It means a lot to the kids. It means a lot to everybody. I have another example of an on-campus thing that, I think so many of us here at PD value and love. Talk to me about Freedom School. Why does it matter at a place like Providence Day? And also, whom, in your opinion, does it benefit?
Freedom School is vitally, vitally important. Freedom School benefits each and every one of us who is privileged to be a part of Freedom School. Providence Day School prides itself on searching for public purpose, on searching for a commitment to giving back, on having a commitment to social responsibility, and not just being another private school. Freedom School is one of the most evident, prolific, impactful ways that we can show that commitment. If you've not been to Freedom School and you're listening to this, and you know there are about 400 of you every summer that do come to Freedom School, please come and be part of our Freedom School. Please come and see Providence Day School's young people commitment to giving back to others. And it's incredible what Katie Carmichael and her team do. Just incredible. I'm in awe of the youngsters that come every day. I'm in awe of Katie and her team. And my tiny little part of Freedom School just leaves me each summer wanting more and feeling so proud of our community for making it happen each year.
Bravo. It's something truly special, the little bit that I've got.
And I know you know it as well.
Just here and there, and there are so many people who put so much time into it, and it seems to me it's quite obvious that they do it because they get a lot out of it.
You got it.
To see our students who have spent their summers doing this, it's so obviously valuable. Let's talk about innovation, shall we?
Let's. Is this not an example of?
Well, absolutely.
We're podcasting. I still don't know what it means, Jay, but it sounds innovative.
I think we're doing it okay, though.
Okay.
So innovation is a word that's very important to you.
Mm.
And Freedom School is an innovative program. There's no doubt about it. I will suggest that it's a word that showed up prominently in your strategic vision update as well. And just as an example, I saw that you retweeted about a school in Iowa that offers a PE credit for students who do yard work for people in need.
Yeah, yeah.
My question is, I would imagine you have lots of ideas coming at you all the time from faculty, from families, from yourself. How do you prioritize and process people's ideas for Providence Day?
We are fortunate. We're part of a community that is truly, truly, truly committed to innovation and generating new ideas. And you're right. I know, as an example, I tell everybody I have 100 new ideas every week. Only one of them is half good. And we're surrounded by lots of creatives. But, you know, every idea that comes forward for me has to pass one particular test. Does this benefit our teaching and learning? Does this benefit our student, parental, faculty and staff community? And does it have a long-term impact? I see education over the 40 years I've now been involved often bending, changing to a new idea, to something that comes out of somewhere, whether it be Europe, whether it be Southeast Asia. But I don't often see that commitment to the long-term change that genuinely impacts teaching and learning. So at one stage, every time somebody said innovation, they meant technology. But the one question we ask at Providence Day School regarding technology and innovation is, does it impact student teaching, learning, and behaviors in a positive way? If we pass that test, then we move forward with our piloting and whatever in this lovely word. In every school says they're committed to innovation. And there's a handful that can actually show how it's positively impacted teaching, learning, or indeed quality of life. We have a wonderful example for the past 2 years where we seriously, seriously looked at opening a campus in China. And we really made, we thought, great progress towards this was mission appropriate, mission-driven. This would benefit our students. This would benefit a whole new wave of students in China. And we became very, very excited by this potential innovative new strand to Providence Day School. To cut a long story short, 2 or 3 years of exploration led to, this is not the right time for us to fully engage in this project. We may go in and try some much smaller approaches, pilot-wise, to our links with our school that we have here every Sunday, our Chinese school,
right.
And perhaps some summer schools here on campus. But those kind of projects, as you know from your own department, are bubbling under all the time. A new language being experimented
right.
with, a new approach to math being experimented with. Obviously, with my accent and my background, a far greater role for cricket in our school than we've ever had before.
Is that going to be a varsity sport
That will be a varsity sport before I retire.
Okay.
So we're pushing those kind of things hard, Jen.
Innovation.
Thank you very much.
I think we'll
much.
Win the Mecklenburg Championship the first couple of years. That's a plus.
Absolutely. I know for Good. A fact we'll win that championship.
Well, and I think pointing out language is a great example because you can't have a language program for every language that exists.
Right.
But at the same time, you want to encourage people to explore.
Right.
How do you leverage technology to do that effectively? All those.
How do we leverage that technology? Do people understand we're part of a global online academy with what, 40, 50 schools now geographically located all over the world, offering different courses of study to our students as we offer different courses of study to their students, utilizing that technology. Jay, when I went to school, I seem to recall Italian was an incredibly popular language.
Mm-hmm. Japanese?
Was there. Russian was there. And interestingly enough, I don't see examples of those around as much as I did 20, 30 years ago, but I see other languages being experimented with to seeing if they have that stickability factor.
Well, it's a good segue, however, to our favorite word on campus, which is global.
Yeah.
And, you are someone who has lived all over the world. You've lived in Kuwait. You've lived and worked in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to know what you've seen in your travels, mm-hmm. in your life abroad, that you think we really do need here.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's worth reminding everybody that we had a group of committed people 10, 15 years ago who really guided this school towards becoming a global school. And as our students sometimes remind us, every school says they're a global school. And as I like to push back, but we really are, and we can prove it. We have data, we have a curriculum, we have programs, and still one of only a handful of schools with that global studies diploma. So it's vitally important, and come on, vitally important in 2019 that we continue that global outlook in everything that we do. What I have seen, whether teaching and being an administrator in England, in Kuwait, in Cairo, and now these great United States, is the desire, the passion for us all to understand each other more and more, and all to work towards compassionately, globally agreed upon goals. And the more we can do that, the more chance we have of eking out a brighter and bolder future for all of our students.
No, having said that, I'm just wondering what you feel we can and should all learn from Blackadder.
What we should always learn from Blackadder, of course, is the more complex the script, the 7 or 8 years of series that we can have, but if we work together, we could avoid that terrible end. You probably don't remember the very final scene in Blackadder. It's one that resonates to this day. But my favorite takeaway from Blackadder, for the three of you who know this TV series, is that characters were able to reinvent themselves from generation to generation while still making an impact on society around them. And I forgive Stephen Fry, Rowan Atkinson, and the writers for that summation of Blackadder, but those of you out there listening who haven't watched it, please, please do. Great show. It's Jay Barron's recommendation.
Dr. Kalshaw, I only have about 17 or 18 more questions for you.
Great. We'll be here a couple of days, though.
Yeah. But I did want to mention that in the PD magazine out this spring, you were put through your Proust questionnaire, I believe.
Yeah, I was, indeed.
Under regrets, interestingly, you mentioned not learning a language.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, I feel your English is not half bad.
I have two languages. I have English and I'm working on American. But one of the reasons I am so fully committed to global education and to world languages is that I went through a school system that did not offer me those opportunities. Mm. When I lived in Kuwait, I had street Arabic. When I lived in Egypt, I had a little bit more sophisticated Arabic, tiny amount. And that's just not good enough for those of us from that Eurocentric background, that lack of commitment. And I'm not just saying this because Jay's on the mic, but one of the things that lifts my spirits here is when I walk around our hallways and I hear our kids and our faculty and staff conversing in so many different languages. It's one of the coolest things about Providence Day School. And you know, Jay, whenever I travel with you, I'm so jealous that you can actually hit the streets and talk, and I can hit the streets and smile and listen, and perhaps a quotation or two from Blackadder, but it's not the same. That's where my commitment comes from.
Pixe Elway, that is true. I wanted to mention another thing that was printed recently. It was an interview with Colby Anderson, Class of 7, our alumni board prez.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned also in this Proust questionnaire that you would like to have any talent. I dare say you have some. He said, "We're incredibly blessed to have the unqualified support of our head of school, Dr. Glenn Calshaw, as an incredible advocate for alumni engagement."
Mm.
"And I'm sure we'll continue to listen to feedback, exchange ideas, and be a champion of the board's goals. It's pretty clear to me from that statement that part of your process of imagining the future of the school is reaching back to the
Absolutely.
Past. Talk to me a little bit about the
Absolutely.
Contact with alumni and
well,
how
first
that
of all,
works
Col-
out.
Colby is an amazing student. An amazing alumni leader. I'm sure he was an amazing student. But from my perspective, we have, 4,000 alums out there. As we approach our 50th year, it's incredible the stories of the accomplishments and achievements of our alums. It's incredible the passion, the love they have for Providence Day School and indeed faculty and staff at Providence Day School. So as we move forward strategically, they must be a voice at the table over the next 50 years. You know, people think that we reach out to alums because we're looking for something. We are. We're looking for input. We're looking for ideas. We're looking for inspiration. So one of the most exciting parts of my job is I get to travel coast to coast in the United States, meeting with alumni groups. And it is rewarding, it is fun, and it's so informative about what our alums of all generations think about our school. Not everybody agrees with the direction that we're going,
sure.
But they need to be heard, and we learn from all of those meetings.
Are there certain points that you hear more than others, especially perhaps from younger alumni? What are we doing right? How are we preparing our students for college effectively or for whatever they choose to do after Providence Day?
So as you well know, we bring a young alumni forum on campus every January, mm-hmm. and they meet with our high school students just to offer words of encouragement and indeed words of wisdom. Our students tell us they are prepared fantastically well academically. Our students tell us they're prepared to enter this global workforce. It's fascinating that our students often tell us in their early 20s, boy, they didn't have to quite stress out as much as they did, in that Providence Day School gives them this solid, solid platform. But we here above else never lose that special relationship between faculty, staff, students, and indeed parents, grandparents, that really makes this school so very, very special. And they don't come back to meet the head of school, and they don't come back just for a building. They come back, Jay, to see people like yourself and other legendary teachers that we have on this campus. So what I hear from young alums over and over again, make sure we keep building our faculty and staff, that our professional development never ebbs, and that we allow teachers to really allow their students to blossom into the amazing young people they are.
Let's be honest, though, they're really coming back to see Jeff Lucia.
You know, we have a group that love to come and see Luscious Lucia, as they tell me that's his name out there in alumni land, and Jeff would not be happy if I did not call him Luscious. But everybody out there that I meet has some teacher who's massively influenced their journey in life so far. And that's one of the coolest things about our school.
I do have one more question.
Sure.
Are we trying sometimes to be all things to all people?
You know, I never quite know what that means, Jane. I'm not being obtuse when I say that. I really don't know what that means. I think it's very clear from our values and our mission statement who and what we are. We have this commitment to academics. We have this commitment to global, a commitment to public purpose and social responsibility. Not everybody agrees with all of those values. But interestingly enough, in the 8 years I've been here, we've had people come forward and say, hey, I disagree with this particular facet, but I want to stay here because the one thing I can always say, we have fantastic teachers.
Has Grant Williams sent you any tickets yet?
I would not dare to ask Grant for tickets. What I'm loving about Grant Williams, and I always tell my favorite story about Grant, I get asked even more now, and I have been for years, hey, you're at Providence Day School. Do you know someone called Grant Williams? And I keep the straightest of faces and say, oh, Grant, yeah, I know that guy. He was in our musicals. One of our top academics. No. Do you know Grant Williams, the basketball player? And I say, Grant, describe him. Is he about 6'8", big dude? I say, yeah, that's the same guy I'm talking about. Oh, he plays basketball as well. You know, Grant is, I think, the epitome of what it means to be a well-rounded young alum, a product of Providence Day School. He is going to be a success, I'm sure, in the NBA. And I know, Grant, I won't have to ask you for tickets.
And there it is. Yeah, Grant's tough to beat. What a great guy. Thank you for your time. Dr. Shaw.
Thank you.
I believe that's your street name.
It is Mr. Dr. Shaw over in TK.
Thank you for joining us today to hear it all straight from the horse's mouth, our spirited official school podcast. Be sure to join us again to hear the voices of our global PD community in future episodes. You can find episodes and more information at providenceday.org/podcasts.